All right, welcome to Geeks of the Square Table, episode 69. And it happened to fall on a rough time of year in this neck of the woods, as it seems to be the height of cold and flu season. Well, unfortunately, I was down and out last week, and it seems I came back, and most of the rest of the crew is down and out with me, but we have the hardcore of the hardcore with us today. So I am your host, Lawrence of America, and with me today is...
Heather, always here.
G squared.
G cubed.
All right. First off, you know, to some of our listeners that may be out there that had recently, within the past 2 years, started frequenting another comic book shop down in Hendersonville, you know, they are closing, and we just want to let them know that they're welcome to come on back whenever. Yeah. But that comic book store, which was founded by one of our former customers, you know, they announced they were closing the doors at the end of the month. Yeah, this is a rough business, so, you know.
Where was it at?
You know, I don't know, to be honest. I don't know. I know it was in Hendersonville, but I don't know the exact location.
I've been all over Hendersonville. I never saw a comic shop. That might be why they're
closing. It was at the ComicCollectorLive.com store. Hmm. Now, Comic Collector Live, you know, they've been around for a while, and they are one of the top places to buy comics online. You know, they're pretty cool. But basically, you know, and the way they're set up is that, you know, somebody as a shop or somebody as an individual can set up and sell comics on there, or you can sign up and buy. And they have a community of about 10,000 people that, you know, buy and sell comics on there. And so as far as volume, they sell as many comics there as, you know, you would think on eBay or Amazon. It's, you know, so it's definitely, and it's set up specifically for comics, so. Yeah, it's good to find obscure back issue stuff. I often send people to that website if you have to break down and find it online, you know. And you know, they're still keeping the website going, but it's the stores is shutting down.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard, you know, in this economy, you know, things are getting back in some areas, but comic books are just rough, and you know, if you do what you do, then it's you really got to work hard and push those boundaries to get things going.
Yeah, and there's a middle ground we're in right now in between a digital medium and a physical medium, and yeah, so it's we're more of a disposable culture. There's less desire, you know, for the average person for books and stuff like that. While it's also experiencing a little bit of a resurgence, thanks to all of Disney's hype and the movies and stuff.
Yay, Disney!
Yeah, and of course, Disney, they don't necessarily care about the comics, per se. They care about the movies, but they do like that the comics hype the movies, and the movies can hype the comics, you know. But because they don't necessarily care per se, they have been letting Marvel do their own thing, which is definitely good. And speaking of Marvel and Disney and movies, Star Wars new launch book today.
Yay!
Now, of course, there's about a bajillion variants to that.
Yeah, just about anywhere you go has their own variant. I was looking earlier that Books A Million has their own variant.
Well, you know, a lot of stores, and the thing with those store variants like that is you have to order like 2,000 copies to get those. And, you know, sometimes those, as people collect all those, sometimes they don't, you know. And it is a neat thing for some of your smaller shops if they do that every once in a while, but usually when they offer that, there's more of those variants than they are of the actual true variants.
Right, right.
You know, because they don't count those numbers towards the 1 in 100s and the 1 in 50s, you know. Because 2,000 for issues for a local comic book store is an insane amount.
Yeah,
you know. That's our average book. Even the bigger number ones, we're lucky if we order 50 of them.
Right.
I've heard rumors of some small shops ordering those 2,000 and having them for years afterwards with a lot of those. Because I know they've done that with there was an amazing Spider-Man. They did that. Yeah. Where it was, the window of a shop was broken out, and they had it set up so that you could have your name of your shop be the shop on the cover, and stuff like
that's
that.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, little stuff like that, but you had to order so many.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting concept, and it's a way to kind of get it out there, but, you get these comics for the characters and everything that they're doing, and to special order some like that, you're kind of thinking, oh yeah, that's where I got that. But then you're looking at it again and you're thinking, okay, how is that Spider-Man related in the first place? Or how is that this, that, and the other?
Right, it's definitely a cool promotional idea, but it harkens of the gimmick covers of the 90s big. And of course, all the variant covers, you could be said that for issue. But I like a lot of the variant covers, because you see a lot of times it seems like the art's so much better.
Right.
But I have seen ones that were, the art was like, that is just horrible.
Right.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And of course, let's face it, half the reason we buy comic books is because we like the art.
Well, I'm sitting here. I'm looking at like three of the covers that we have for the Star Wars, and we've looked at about 10 different covers that were offered here. One of them that has sold out was one that was Luke Skywalker toy. It was like you were just looking at it hanging on a rack, ready to buy. It was an amazing
from back
cover.
In the day. Not
from back,
today.
Yeah, back during the first movie. Then you have one here that's just a picture of Luke Skywalker from the movies. It's a great shot of him. It really is, but it's kind of boring and it's not really that artistic, but it's a memory thing.
And that's something like that. That cover would probably sell better to just fans of the movie.
It would.
And then, of course, they have certain artists that have done lots of variant covers and stuff. So they try and hit a lot of different markets like that.
Well, the one that really kind of, struck me as funny, there's a cover that has Han Solo and Leia, and Han is, grasping her romantically while holding, his gun, and you're sitting there thinking, okay, this is supposed to be a romantic pose, and yet there's a gun there. It's supposed to reach out, I guess, more towards the female, psyche, but it really just kind of failed on my end. And then we have the baby variant,
the baby,
of course.
Variant. Love
the baby variant.
A lot of people go crazy over the baby variants, and they've done those in all sorts of them.
Yeah, we've got a few at home, and some of them are really cute. The X-Men baby variants, we loved. The Star Wars ones.
The Superior Spider-Man baby variant.
I love the Superior Spider-Man baby variant.
I know they've done a series of Lego variants with the DC stuff, and I thought some of those were neat. But Robot Chicken did a series of variants.
I like those. We got some of
those.
I thought some of those were pretty funny.
Well, Robot Chicken also stays with the culture of comic books. I mean, Robot Chicken has brought a different series of children and kids and family people to comic books because they're thinking, okay, what is this they're making fun of? We want to see what the other side of this is.
We watch Robot Chicken all the time.
I don't really necessarily agree with them being a portal to bringing people in, or at least not deliberately. I mean, I could see that happening accidentally, but I don't think that's their goal.
I understand. I agree.
I really think it's probably Seth Green just, in his ADD art form. you know,
definitely AD.
Yeah, and that's there. Yeah, I think that's one of the shows that kicked off the trend of the 15-minute show, the ADD show, I think.
It's quick.
Adult Swim, you know, it's like, here, you have no attention span, watch this. Now go on and watch this. And,
yeah.
You know, but no, it's definitely good and funny. Although, I've been suckered in by some of the gimmick covers, you know. One of my favorites was... Ghost Rider on a Tron cycle.
Oh, that's awesome.
But it's the cover of Incredible Hulk. So Ghost Rider's nowhere in the book, has nothing to do with it. You know, they just did a Tron month, you know, right when the movie came out. Every Marvel book had a Tron cover, and the Incredible Hulk had a Ghost Rider on a Tron cycle.
Good job,
so
Marvel.
So you open it up, and it's not the right story, and you're like, wait a minute, I know I bought Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
Never trust the picture.
Never trust the picture.
But, so, of course, the CES thing, we were talking about that earlier, and, you know, that's big in the news. Did y'all hear about... That's the Consumers Electronic Show. Yeah, and it's kind of jumped up a little bigger now that E3 has scaled back a little. Did y'all hear about anything that caught y'all's eye? Or
not overly so. You know, I was trying to look a little bit into it yesterday, and just... I didn't really see too much. You know, there are a lot of people that are focusing on... the bad stuff that came through from CES, some of the more odd inventions and concepts.
Yeah, a lot of 4K televisions, curved screens, a lot of 3D printing, you know, that kind of thing.
I don't know how I feel about the curved screen.
Not a big fan.
You know, I don't really get the point of the curved screen, you know,
it's supposed to give the whole room a good view. I just don't agree, because the curve on the screen just seems a little too great to be able to do that. But the picture on it kind of distorts when you sit to the sides on either side of it.
Now, the last time I remember anything with a curved screen was the old Sega Holograms arcade games. Yeah. And if a curved screen brings that to home movies, awesome. But
we're looking at curved screens. We've seen online over in Japan where they have screens that you can literally roll them up, and then it comes right back. And I've looked it up; those are in existence. Why
do you need a screen that you
can just... Well, I don't think about how small the houses are.
I mean, a lot of them live in very small houses.
And
rolling something up and putting it away.
I haven't seen any, flexible screens to that degree. I know that is prototypes that they want to do. I mean, the idea for the flexible screen prototype and stuff, so it can be mixed into fabric and all kinds of crazy stuff, but even the curved screens that they're showing at CES, those are a few years before they hit the market here. They'll be because the thing is, there's still a niche market. You know, it's the 4K stuff. Sure, that'll be a little quicker because people understand that concept.
Yeah.
You know, they understand, four times the definition. Okay. You put in a bigger number, I can understand a bigger number. So bigger is better. we understand that as a society, you know. And, you know, but it won't, of course, really catch on until more people start shooting in the Ultra K or, the 4K definition stuff, which... requires the cameras to come out there and be cheaper. Right now, they're out there on the pro level, but even most movies aren't shot in 4K yet.
Right.
So
I think one thing that kind of interests me, there were actually two things, and by the way, one of them, you know, suggestion for a anniversary gift. Lamborghini put out its own cell phone. There's only going to be 1,400 of them. It's a value price at $6,000.
It's just a phone.
It's comes in four very ugly colors is what is said about it, and has no newer technology than your average regular smartphone.
Then why is it $6,000?
Because it's Lamborghini. Yeah, it says that it comes out in 1,947 phones in each of its four colors. Yeah, and it's actually kind of ugly because it looks more like an enlarged Swiss Army knife to some degree. I'm not really all that impressed, but it's $6,000, so feel free to spend your money.
No, thanks.
So there was also something on here. It was a ring that is like a smartphone of sorts that you wear on your finger.
I also saw a Kitty LoJack. It was basically a watch you put on your kid, and yeah, it was more like they could shake it a certain way, and it like calls your phone, and I guess tells them your kid's having a seizure, or it can alert if your kid leaves certain areas or whatever, you know.
That's kind of cool.
It is kind of cool and kind of creepy.
Yeah, it's stalking your child.
Yeah,
I mean, I understand wanting to know where your kid is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I definitely do, but when we were kids,
keep them in your
we would have hated that so much. I would take it off. If I was a kid, I would take it off and probably put it on a tree so my parents would think I was just in one certain place.
Right.
Now, the funny thing is you take it off and attach it to a wild dog.
There you go. Let it run. Now, there's a new form of a Segway coming out. It's an IO Hawk, and it's basically described as a Segway with a skateboard platform, and you can ride it just around. I guess it's the closest we can come to a hoverboard as of right now.
Actually, there is a hoverboard out.
No,
the Enzo board or whatever, and it is a hoverboard, but you have to have a basically a metal plate,
underneath it.
Right. Yeah. Well, so, they have basically this giant half pipe, that has the metal plate or whatever. Yeah. And I saw a video of Tony Hawk riding it. He did a few tricks or whatever, and it's at this point it's really loud and everything. But they're looking at marketing it as something you could do, you could have it at skate parks or whatever,
right.
Or you could easily integrate it to if you were a skating rink or whatever, to put,
But you realize how dangerous that would be, the liability they'd have. I mean, if I owned a skating rink, I wouldn't do it.
The start of hoverboard technology.
I'm just saying, it's there.
Yeah.
And,
you think they rushed it because of Back to the Future 2, this is the year.
Ish. I mean, they basically did a Kickstarter for it, and you're talking it's like $2,000-$3,000.
Yeah.
There's going to be some rich kids that play with it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to talk about the rush for Back to the Future, the Auto Laces are coming out this year.
I saw that.
Yes.
Yeah. Saw that Nike's doing that.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested to see. They do have actual pairs that they had already made.
Right.
And,
but they didn't have auto laces or anything. They just had the looks and the lights.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. It's going to be interesting to see.
So these are supposed to be fully functional.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
And they look exactly like the ones from the movie.
Yeah.
Like I said, the ones in the movie are
really
bulky. The
Sports Almanac this year has to look like the one from the movie. If they don't do that, that would be stupid.
Yeah, they should so capitalize on this year.
Yeah, I'm sure we haven't heard the last of it, to be honest. Yeah.
It's fantastic.
But really, I'd want to see... a future, an anniversary version of the movie or something come out to be really cool, they should re-release it in 3D.
That would be cool.
That would be my thought.
That would be cool.
That'd be really cool.
Because imagine the watching 3D and that giant shark comes down where it's going to get Marty. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, which I'm surprised they haven't remade that show or that movie by now. It's been long enough that...
Yeah, but some movies just don't need to be remade, though.
Yeah, tell it to the people who made Chappie.
Yeah. Now, I'm looking at something here. It's the inventions that have already come to life from Back to the Future. TV video phones. Yeah, everyone has Skype nowadays. We have
there's a lot of things that came true out of it, or at least in a different way, you know. That can be said about a lot of different, you know, sci-fi and type shows that...
mainly Star Trek.
You know, have influenced certain things and certain products and stuff have came out of. Yeah.
Well, everyone that ever had a flip phone at one point had to flip it up like they were Captain Kirk.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, the flip phone was a perfect example. We're seeing a lot of smart homes and automated everything, you know. I don't know, I like the smart home idea. And I've seen some crazy stuff, you know, but there's some things I just don't need to have internet access.
Right.
You know, there is a Bluetooth egg tray you can get for your fridge.
Why would you need Bluetooth on your egg tray?
So, the deal is, you download the app to your smartphone.
Yeah.
When you're at the grocery store... You bring up the app, and it tells you how many eggs you have.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. It's called Open the Refrigerator Door, and look.
And, you know, that's a really good idea, only I want the app that puts a little night vision camera in my fridge, so I actually know everything in there. You know, I don't care. Okay, I have eggs, but do I have sausage? Do I have bacon?
Yeah, do I have anything to go along with it?
That would be so awesome.
Did my kids raid the refrigerator last night? Yeah, now I have nothing to make for dinner.
Do they have one for beer?
They got one for ice cream? Yeah.
Hey, new this summer, Budweiser Bluetooth.
Lojack for your beer.
They already have that. It's called a pit bull.
Yeah, but the problem is, when he takes off, he shakes up the beer.
That's true. Well, you know, just let it sit for a while. It'll be all right. Oh, my gosh. Bluetooth eggs. What is the world coming to?
So what are y'all reading this week?
Well, he's got his new Star Wars, so he'll be starting that.
Yay.
I'm actually getting ready to start a new series for OutrightGeekery.com, where I'm focusing on the female characters of the universes and different comic book series that have come out, and I'm getting ready to focus on my first character, who is Silver Sable.
Now, are these going to be ones that can be used as a flotation device, or... You
know? I'm going to go all through the realm of female characters. I'm looking at Isis, I'm looking at Black Cat, I'm looking at Spider-Woman. Well, it's going to be Spider-Woman's incarnations. I'm going through and I'm finding rare and unusual comic books that you kind of wonder, well, this was created, why didn't it go very far, or why is this character so popular and how did she get to be so popular? You know, I'm there's a whole range of females that are coming into comic book awareness now.
And a lot of them were vastly different when they were created as well.
Exactly.
You know? So, definitely sounds interesting.
I'm basically just catching up on Spider-Verse. I've got a few of those that I need to start reading again. And just
there's just so much.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of Spider-Man.
You're so whiny. Would you like some
cheese
with that wine?
There's so many Spider-Man on there.
It's hard to... You know, we were talking about this last night. We were talking about the fact that when somebody new comes into the comic book realms... It's hard to know where to start because there are so many series with so many branches off. And if you get thrown into one series in a particular spot, you never know if it's a branch off or if it was, like, the mainstream story. Like, with the Spider-Verse, there are, like, 5 or 6 different branches to the Spider-Verse story going on right now. Where do you jump in at? Do you start with number one with Spider-Man, or do you branch off into the side stories and read all of those, or where do you go? And, you know, coming from a point of view like mine where I'm just kind of getting into comic books and reading, where do you start? Because do you buy back copies of the old stuff, or do you start with a brand new series and hope that you can figure out where you're going?
Well, you know, and that's definitely an issue that a lot of people have. And they've tried to correct that in several ways, but no real solution has come up, you know. And that is, like, one perfect example. When I was younger and they did the 90s cartoon, I was like, hey, I really like this X-Men cartoon, you know. And I went into a comic book shop and I'm like, hey, I saw this X-Men cartoon. You know, I kind of want to try and jump in and read some X-Men. Where's a good storyline for me? You know, and they looked at me and they're like, oh, well, yeah, you kind of have to start like 20 years ago. And I was exactly. Like, okay, never mind then. Yeah. Right. I mean, and of course, they've gotten more now to where they're putting stuff on trade. So you can start 20 years ago if you so want to, you know. You definitely, and start with the beginning of a series, usually, you know, in trade paperback, you know, with a lot of the major, especially with the Marvel and DC characters. So that's always where I try to, you know, point new customers in. I'm like, hey, well, you know, if you like this, this is, you know, where you go. You know, this is the current run of Batman. This is the current run of Spider-Man, you know. Right. Or here's the start of The Walking Dead, you know, or... Or here's Chew, you know. There's definitely I always try and get a feel for what kind of person they are, what kind of stuff they like, you know.
Well, with the different universe reboots, you know, it comes to, are you wanting to be current with what's going on now, or would you rather, you know, read stories before that?
Really, yeah, you know, definitely. And a lot of times, you know, you want to start with a new story so you don't feel overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so they'll start and they'll get into that, and then they'll crave reading more of these old stories and stuff like that. That's usually how that tends to go, you know. I always try, you know, like in the Marvel side, you know, the Superior Spider-Man's a good series, or the relaunch of Amazing, you can start them with that. Are all new X-Men, you know. And of course, on DC, you know, Batman, Night of the Owls, Court of the Owls, Death in the Family, you know. All those, you know, right there at the beginning of this run, you know, have all been, you know, gone over very well, you know. You know, and sometimes people just go, I just want a good Batman story, or I just want a good this story or that story, you know. And then usually there's certain titles you can go, okay, well, this was a classic story that, you know, people love, or this, you know, was one of the great stories. And, you know, and of course, there's always the independent people, you know, and you try to steer them to, well, hey, you know, check out the series The Sandman or The Watchmen or Why the Last Man, or The Walking Dead, or Chew, or Sweet Tooth, or, you know, there's definitely a lot of great independent or smaller stuff out there, too. Of course, you know, Watchmen, Sandman, those are bigger ones, you know, but, you know, Image puts out a ton of good stories, so there's definitely plenty of things you can point them to that don't have that long of a history, or that are readily available in trade, you know, to keep them from getting overwhelmed.
Right. Well, see, that was part of the problem I was having with getting started with my new blog and everything. Is I was trying to find a starting point for a lot of these characters, and we were going through comic books, and I was finding 6, 8, 10 lines for different things, like Supergirl. You know, there's multiple different stories and universes, I guess, for her. And you're trying to find where to start with her to find out you know, what's going on with them. Yeah, just the main story. So I actually was talking to Mark here, and he actually headed me over to the, what are these books over here? My mind went blank.
The Essentials.
And I got started with Spider-Woman volume 1. I just decided to start there. It's the older comics. They're in black and white, but you still get the story.
The essential trades are always a great way to get the classics, you know, because you're picking up hundreds of issues worth of stuff for $20, you know, and you just can't beat the value on that story-wise.
Right.
And yeah, like you said, it's on the newsprint, you know, the black and white, but...
But you still have the story there. You still see the graphics. You're just not getting the color. That's it. Yeah, you know, if you're really bored, just color it in yourself. But, yeah. You know, it's just really all about the story. Yeah, it's about the stories. So, I mean, that's where I'm starting. I've got Silver Sable that I'm starting. Still trying to find all of those. And then I'm going to go into Spider-Woman, I think, and get started with her and just see where I go from there.
Yeah, of course, Spider-Woman... and speaking of Spider-Verse, there was the big Gwen Stacy as Spider-Woman. That was a popular thing.
And yeah.
That will probably have spawned its own series now, because of how popular that was. And, of course, you're seeing a lot more female characters because, of course, there's a lot more female readers out there than there used to be. And part of it is because of how hard of a business this is. You know, the remaining comic book shops have gotten so much better at being open. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas in the 80s or early 90s, you'd see these dank little dingy holes that could either be a porn store or a comic book shop.
Right. I remember those.
Yeah,
I do remember those.
I don't think I've seen so many red cheeks in my life.
Your mom thinks twice about letting you go in there.
and those definitely a lot of those have gone away because what it boils down to, it needs to be an all-inclusive community, you know. And people, it's not this secretive elitist type club that like it used to be. That's definitely one thing we've always strived to be here is more inclusive and definitely be open to everybody.
That's what makes this a good place to come, is because you don't feel like you're just
the odd man out.
You have to be part of the clique.
Yeah, you don't feel like you're just a customer. You come in here and you have a question, somebody will actually answer your question.
And a lot of times, even if it's something that we can't answer, there happens to be a customer that knows the answer. that's part of the advantages of us focusing more on a community.
Well, even us, being part of Outright Geekery and the whole discussions, that was us walking in and saying, hey, you want to join us? Sure,
Yeah, it was just walking in on a conversation.
So for us, it's been a big change for us.
It being inclusive, being in the mainstream at the moment the way it is, it's actually making it to where there are people who didn't want to be coming into a comic book shop, coming into a comic book shop now. I've led friends to reading comics that had never read comics before. That'll go see a movie, and just because they saw the movie, will want to read a comic.
Well, there are a lot of parents that say they don't want their kids running off and doing all of these strange things. Comic books are a way for kids to be creative and be imaginative and have their own worlds, and it's a safe environment.
And it's still reading
for the most part.
It's reading.
It's definitely reading. Kids that struggle with reading, it's a way to pick up one of the books and say, hey, check out and see what this person is doing. and you're not having to worry about your kids running around on the street, you know, doing things they're not supposed to be doing because they're bored.
I've seen kids that don't know how to read very well learn bigger words because of reading comic books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we never stopped you from reading comic books, ever. Uh-uh. And you guys have huge vocabulary, so it's kind of a nice thing to see.
Yeah, I'm always complimented by my friends for using huge words. They're like, I don't even know what that means.
That's why I use it. It's my own secret language.
Exactly.
It's called vocabulary.
Yeah, if I taught it to you, I'd have to kill you.
They're called Latin root words.
That's it. That's exemplary.
What? Oh, no. What are you talking about now? Come on, y'all. You know, speaking that weird Latin shit. Man. Yeah. Well, on the subject of crazy redneck mumblings and ramblings. One of the Spears sisters made it into the news.
Yes, Jamie.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the headline was Jamie Spears wielding a knife breaks up a fight. You know,
I saw that.
And of course, yeah, you think of anything with one of the Spears sisters wielding a knife, it would be in the fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the video. It was interesting. She's at some fast food restaurant, you know, and she just hops around the counter, grabs a bread knife, and like, starts waving.
Trying to separate
them up.
That doesn't surprise me so much. I mean, sharp things around Spear Sisters are just not good. But she really was trying to just break up the fight and keep them from hurting each other. But
right, yeah. Like, apparently one of her friends was involved or got sucked into it or something. You know, I don't know. But, it's nice to hear a positive thing, so that somebody actually will do something other than go, fight, you know.
It's going to be a good rep for her new country album she has coming out. You know, not that anybody knew that she even had it, really, but, you know.
I didn't either.
I've known about it only because I've seen her perform on YouTube and stuff with some of the songs, but it's probably not selling, so she had to do something to save her career.
I don't think there's a lot that can be done.
No, I mean, her sister's pretty much cornered the market on shaving heads and wielding umbrellas and, you know, doing drastic things to save her career. So, Jamie,
well,
I think he's kind of screwed.
I don't know if, I'm a strong theory that if you become that famous at that young of an age, you're probably going to go crazy. I mean, most of the time, you know.
It tends to happen.
Well, I mean, there have been some who have been very successful starting as kids, you know.
Because you think, she started, like, super young with, like, the Mouseketeers and stuff.
Brittany was 12 when she joined the Mickey Mouse Club.
But
so was Justin Timberlake, was Damon Pampalona, and all of the, you know.
JC
was a Mouseketeer.
A lot of people started super famous. And a lot of people go crazy because of it.
I mean,
if they stay famous, and it's one thing to deal because you look at it from a psychological point of view, you're either having to deal with, your most awkward years in front of millions.
Yeah.
Right.
Or realizing that you have peaked, as far as financially or business-wise,
You could always go into True TV. They have that World's Dumbest that has Leif Garrett, Danny Bonaducci, what's the guy that played Willis? Todd Bridges.
Todd Bridges,
yeah. They were all child actors, and now they're on a TV show making fun of themselves being child actors.
And of course there's always reality celebrity this and celebrity that, redefining the word celebrity as we speak.
Ask the Kardashians. Oh, sorry, that was low blow, but I don't know, the definition of celebrity nowadays is just so far out there
because we have an overglut of media, and there's 10 million different channels you know, it's hard to stand out, and everybody has their own little thing, you know. And then, of course, we have YouTube and, you know, and BMO and all kinds of internet stuff to, you know, to promote yourself and do your own shows and all this other stuff. And
well, it's like people get famous on YouTube and then have their own show on regular TV. You're making good money on YouTube. That's where your fans want you. That's where you're doing basically what you want to do. When they go on the TV, they tend to bomb when they go on the TV.
It's where
it's a total different market, too. It is. You know,
so, well, it's like Shit My Dad Says.
Yeah.
You know, that TV show, it started on Twitter. And it was a guy that would tweet everything that his dad's ever said. Well, once it went to TV, it kind of lost something in its translation. It went from being funny one-liners to being William Shatner, you know.
Right, Emily. Well, and of course it was a you know, the Twitter feed, you know, then did a book or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and you see a lot of that with sitcoms, you know, that where they're just trying to turn somebody's sitcom routine or stand-up routine into a sitcom.
Seinfeld. Sorry.
But there's a lot of them that are like that. That somebody just makes a joke and they try to make a show out of it. And some of them make it, and many of them don't.
Yeah, so. And, yeah, like you mentioned Seinfeld, which, you know, that show definitely started a trend with it. But it's consistent writing, you know.
It was, and it had good writers, which is why it succeeded.
Right, I mean, that's really, the concept really isn't as important as the writers. Because, you know, sure, a bad concept with good writers will last longer than a good concept with bad writers.
That's true. Very
true. Now, of course, a bad concept is still a bad concept, but, you know, that being said, y'all seen any new shows? There's a series of them about to come out, you know, with the fall or the spring or whatever season.
I'm ready to see what's going on with Netflix, the Marvel shows that they're
The Daredevil coming on Netflix. We're ready for that.
Yeah. When's that supposed to launch?
April 10th.
April 10th. Of course, you know, Walking Dead's supposed to come back in like
February,
a month or so.
February 8th, I believe. The week after the Super Bowl.
Yep. And,
Flash is coming back. Arrow's coming back next week. Constantine's coming back. A lot of shows are coming back. That, you know,
see, the whole I'm hiatus. I dislike Constantine the hiatus. Is coming back.
It's not a bad show.
Not saying it's bad, but it was. It didn't do the best in ratings. It was on the borderline.
It didn't explain anything.
I just think that's what I think they need to do. They need to explain a little more.
They just basically threw it in there as you should already know.
I think if they make it through the rest of the season and maybe get picked up for a second season, if they do more explaining on it, I think it would work out better. I don't think it being on Friday night is a good thing. They've actually moved it up to 7 o'clock our time, whereas it was on at 9. I think they're trying to maybe pull in some more viewers for it being at 7. At 9 o'clock, it was kind of late. Or it's either later for a show to come on, or people are already gone doing something on a Friday night.
Which, speaking of other shit, I think one of the networks has got Walking Dead, you know, has been showing it on their secondary networks, like CBS or NBC somebody. I'm not really sure who. Of course, it's not in the Nashville market, but the Dallas market has it.
There's a channel that actually shows on the weekends Walking Dead. It's like the first, second seasons. I can't remember which channel it is.
It's supposed to be on regular TV, over-the-air TV, you know, so... which, you know, that's definitely, pretty cool. We're seeing, good cable shows come to some basic over-the-air.
We've got Flash and Arrow coming back.
They both just announced that they got their next seasons Flash has been signed up for a second season, and Arrow for
Flash
a fourth.
Flash is doing great for CW.
It really is.
So, they said that's their highest watch. Yeah, the CW has had a whole slew of, you know, the Beverly Hills 90210 / Supernatural type combinations. Yeah. In various incarnations, and they do that formula really well, you know. You know, heartthrob, he said, she said. Man, this is not, Flash is not really that.
No.
But, so it's nice to see them do something other than that kind of stuff. But yeah, it is, I like the fact that the comic book shows are succeeding more and more. You know, it shows good for more creative shows, you know, more like the Netflix series and stuff like that, you know. So you get to see more and more interesting properties come to other medias as well.
Some of the things that have kind of interested me is the more scientific side of some of these shows and how they're progressing with things that would interest our kids in more a scientific life or more computer-generated life. Going into, Felicity, she's amazing with computers and technology, and yeah, she's a super genius with that, but you can get in there and do, you know, you could see her process and how she runs everything. You have the Flash, where they have the scientists sitting there explaining what some of these scientific processes are and what's causing certain things to happen. And so all these kids that are sitting in school, they are bored to death until they hear something they've heard on one of these shows, and they're like, oh, hey, I know what that is.
And that actually has happened to our kids.
Yeah.
Our kids will come home and say, our teacher brought up something that I learned on either The Flash or Gotham. And I'm like, that's really cool that y'all already knew that from a TV show.
It's funny you mentioned Felicity, and I instantly thought to the J.J. Abrams series back in the 90s.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, which a buddy of mine's been rewatching here lately. And a little trivia fact, Alias was a spinoff of that show because he basically ran out of ideas and he this would be so much easier if she was just a secret agent at night.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And makes that sense. Line became the premise to start Alias. That's funny. And of course, yeah, back then you didn't, J.J. Abrams was not a nobody, but was not the name he is today.
Right.
So, a lot of those old series people don't think Felicity J.J. Abrams or Alias J.J. Abrams.
Right.
You know, they usually think of the new Star Trek or Star Wars movies.
But that's how much he's progressed in, 10 years, 12 years. You sit there and think about it, and you're like, holy crap. He's gone from, small time to big time.
Well, I mean, that was a pretty big time show, too.
A lot of people got mad when she cut her hair.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it.
I just remember a lot of people in school
talking about her hair. But see, I also remember her from Mickey Mouse Club. I remember when she was in Mickey Mouse Club, and she did a kind of sod drama on the Mickey Mouse Club. It was called Emerald Cove, and it was very much like Felicity. So, I mean, I kind of got the transition for it.
Yeah. Well, of course, the first thing that really set his name into my mind was Lost,
Never could get into Lost.
It was one to me. Lost is a show that you had to watch on DVD,
so you could just keep watching.
So you could watch it. You could I really enjoyed it. Been watching it a season at a time, but I could not keep track of it on TV.
I tried to watch it from episode one because I saw the commercials. I thought, yeah, that looks like a pretty cool concept. I'm going to watch it. I watched about 4 episodes, and I was like, dude, really? You guys are just walking in circles.
Yeah, at first I thought it was just like Castaway.
And then there's polar bears.
Spoiler alert. Well, yeah. I actually enjoyed Castaway, but...
Oh, I like Castaway.
Yeah,
I like Tom Hanks.
Movie.
But that, yeah, this is definitely, it was one of those movies that you had to like Tom Hanks or you just didn't get it. But I thought it was definitely an interesting role for him. And every once in a while, you'll see one of the bigger actors do a movie like that. Yeah. That's like, it's 90% of just them trying to carry this whole movie.
You have to have the right actor to be able to do that.
Right. But that is about it for today. Any final thoughts?
We've got several movies coming out. There was a second trailer release for Age of Ultron, which looks pretty awesome.
They've just started to spoil pictures of the toys and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, did they?
Yeah.
I haven't seen those yet. You know, I actually just found out that they are getting ready to make a film version of the musical Wicked, which is one of my favorite musicals in the whole world, and so I'm excited about that, and I'm hoping they don't ruin it. But, you know, I've been reading, you know, the Wizard of Oz comic books and the wonderful Wizard of Oz, all that, you know, and I'm kind of hoping that they design Elphaba to be kind of an interesting character in the musical version, so...
Yeah, we'll see. I'm really surprised they haven't did one earlier. I mean, as big as that musical was.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they just did, what was it, the...
Oh, mine's the complex.
No, the forest one. Into the forest. Into the woods. And I've been waiting for that one to come out, you know, even though I couldn't remember the title. But I remember seeing the Bernadette Peters version on TV when I was young. And so I'm kind of looking forward to watching this movie. It was an onstage movie that they did where they were actually filming the Broadway version of it. And it had Bernadette Peters as the lead. So I'm kind of interested to see how Anna Kendrick does in this new one. I think it'll be interesting.
Hmm. I'm just glad that a lot of the comic book shows are coming back. It's been a very boring few weeks with none of them on TV because we basically set up our nights watching certain shows as a family and then discussing them during and after. So
we've found that on Xbox One you can get achievements for watching a bunch of Netflix.
Wow, yeah. That is,
you get achievements for watching shows in a row and for rating shows and movies.
Since we're so bored because the shows aren't there, there's an achievement that we want to work on. You have to watch Netflix for 30 days straight. That's how it's been without those shows.
Yeah.
There's nothing on TV.
You guys,
at least for us. At least for us.
I don't know. Sci-Fi did the Ascension miniseries. If y'all didn't see that, that's worth taking a watch. That was pretty good.
We'll have to check that one out.
Definitely. The basic premise, right before Candy was shot, he authorized a experiment to send a multi-generational 100-year voyage ship. So you have all these scientists and everything that are on this ship going to Proxima Centauri or whatever, and it's going to take 100 years. And, you know, it starts out when the first murder on the ship happens after they're 51 years into the voyage.
Huh.
And, of course, you quickly find out that the ship didn't actually leave. They all think they're in space, but are people watching them. And, you know, it's a big social experiment and everything. There's all these people living inside the spaceship.
So it's like a biodome type thing.
Yeah, they're thinking they're in space, but it's actually...
See, they should have...
one experiment, there's another experiment thinking, you know...
They should have put it on TV, and it could have been like the Truman Show.
Yeah, so...
That sounds pretty good. I'm going to have to check that one out.
Yeah, definitely.
But definitely, come in, get your Star Wars comics... we've got plenty of the variants left of this and that. Come check us out here at Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee. Check us out online at ComicCity2.com, Facebook.com/ComicCity2, or OutrightGeekery.com. All right. See you next week. Same geek time, same geek channel.
See ya.
See you later.
Bye.
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 Bye.